True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ.
What a play, Ian Happ, into the ivy.
And Dakota Mekas.
6'7", 250-pound Mekas. Swing and a miss, struck him out.
Welcome back to The Compound Podcast. This is episode 263 of The Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. This is the jersey. Parse Rum jersey. We're repping the brand. Tom's repping the Yankees. We're repping Parse. Go to Binny's. Get your Parse. Fired up about it. People have been sending their photos. We actually got a resubmission from February. Good submission, but maybe a new bottle gets you a jersey. When I say Parse, you say rum. Parse?
Rum.
Go to Binny's, go to your local Binny's, get the Parse, send us a picture of it. These jerseys are sick. Actually, my sister-in-law, I think, wore the jersey to the game the other day.
Oh.
Father's Day. Yeah, Father's Day game.
Well, that's a perfect place to start, Ian. Because you hit a walk-off on Father's Day. What a player. Your post-game interview, first, the post-game interview was hilarious. You go, yeah, just swung through two splitters, set him up, knew what he was going to do after that. It is funny, like you said in the interview, for those that didn't see it, like the last time you, or one of the last few times you faced him, he started you with two heaters, and then like the next time he started you with two curveballs, and then he said, here's splitters. So you're kind of up there guessing a little bit.
Well, that's the cool thing, and I think the thing that we lose a little bit about not playing the division as much is, like, you build this history with relief pitchers, especially because you just, you know, you have that with starters. You get them three times. Maybe they pitch you this way, and then you see them again. They pitch you another way. But, like, with relievers, especially, like, late-inning guys, like, it's always big spots. So, like, every time I face Bednar, it's been a big spot. And, you know, him and I, we played together when we were 8 years old. Our families are always, you know, sitting together at games or seeing each other at games in Pittsburgh. So, like, we know each other well. And yeah, there's been times throughout my career where he started me like dumper curveball and like in a big spot, especially in like a one run game, like the dumper curveball is something he started me with in the past. The other night when I faced him, he went heater. And I was a little surprised by it because he'd been throwing his curveball a little bit more and like it's been in the zone. So I really thought he was going to start me with curveballs, but he went heater. So then when I went into the at bat yesterday, I was like, I got to be all over the heater here. And then split, nasty. 92 mile an hour split, pff, dead down. Then the next splitter, the next splitter cut.
Cut, yeah, that was gross.
you would love it because I think it was like, I think the metrics on the first one were like 10 and 2, something like that. And then the next one was like 5 and 5.
Good luck.
Yeah, so that next one was like, pew, and then
and he throws it at like 91, doesn't he?
Yeah, like 90 to 92. Yeah. So, yeah, at that point, down 0-2, you know, I knew he was going to try to throw something else for a ball in that situation. You know, he's not going to try to throw a strike there, and obviously just left the splitter up. But yeah, I was lucky he threw something in the zone. But that's the little cat and mouse of guys that you've faced a bunch in the past.
Yeah, I also noticed, and we're not big emotion guys, you and me, I feel like. You were a little emotional after the game, you know, Father's Day, walk-off hit. Tell us, I mean, for those that don't know, like, me and Ian have both lost our fathers, so I feel like that was a pretty special moment for you, like, on a day like that, to come up big in the clutch and get that hit. So just tell us how special that was for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's an emotional day and, like, a tough day. And so just... I've had some cool ones. I had my first one in the big leagues. I hit a homer in Pittsburgh, and that was a really cool moment that I still think about all the time. And so, yeah, to have that on Father's Day, it was emotional. And like I think you just, those big moments when you get a chance to do it in front of that crowd on a day like that, that's important to you, special, like all that stuff kind of floods you after the game. And I definitely felt that.
Well, and I thought what was funny is you're kind of like not choked up, but you're a little emotional, like doing the interview and then just three bottles of water getting poured on your head. It's like, all right, we're okay. We're good.
Those were cold, dude. Yeah. They must have come out of the freezer.
Yeah.
They were frigid.
Palencia hit you with three full bottles of water.
Yeah. I was just wearing it too. Because I thought, like, with the initial, I was like, oh, that's probably like a cooler of something. And then it just kept going.
Yeah.
And I was just wearing it.
Did when Nico ran out, what did he like ran past you?
He did the flyby. He did the water flyby.
That was crazy because you like jumped up and he just kept sprinting to like second base.
I jumped up, he ran by me, and then I was just kind of by myself for a second. It was like, what do I do?
It was funny. And then PCA like grabbed you from behind. Of course, he was the next guy there. But I saw that and I was like, what the heck, Nico? Like, don't leave Malone out there.
Yeah. Yeah. He did the flyby, the rare flyby.
Yeah, I love that.
Did he tell you why he did the flyby?
No.
Did you ask him?
No.
It was.
I think
so
he was just
weird.
Feeling it. Just feeling the flyby. Another cool thing. I don't know if you guys saw this on the broadcast or on the photos from the Cubs, but Nico, like, was thinking about yesterday. Like, we played together for a long time now. We have a bunch of really cool moments together. He waited like at the bat rack
when I saw that.
Like, I did my interview and came down. He was waiting to give me a hug. Like, that was just really cool. You just think about like. All the memories we've had together and playing together for so long. That was a cool one.
That was sick. Yeah, I saw that on Twitter, him like hanging out. Cause it's not, I mean, it's not like super long, but like just hanging out in there for like 5-10 minutes just to give you a hug kind of thing that was sick.
Yeah, it was cool. And that was a tough series, man. I mean, they're playing better baseball. They're pitching it. Tough run scoring environment in Wrigley with the wind for, you know, 3 out of the 4 days for sure. But all 4 days, I think the only day that it was kind of flat was the day that Skeens pitched. And their bullpen, you know, they've added some young arms that are got some good stuff. And so it was tough to score runs, and credit to our pitching staff for keeping zeros on the board. They did a great job. But winning 4 one-run games that series, but winning 3 of those coming out on top is huge.
It was impressive, too. Was it Keller on Sunday?
Keller.
It was impressive from both of them. To give up 2 in the 1st and then kind of settle their way down. I think they both went 6 after that.
Yeah.
Or like at least into the 6th and just kind of like smooth sailing the rest of the way. Like when you start out with not a big inning, but like you give up 2 in the 1st, it's like, uh-oh, like the bullpen's moving around out there. Like this could be a long one. So for them to both settle down and go 6 was impressive. And like you said, all the games, I think you won, all 3 you won were by 1 run.
Yeah, and the one we lost was a 1-run game.
Yeah. So really good series to watch. I mean, I would have liked a few more runs. It's a little more fun, but it's also, this is not off topic, but kind of random. I thought of this. It's tough when Tucker doesn't start because like yesterday in extras, or I think it was like in the 9th, Justin Turner was coming up and Tucker was on the on deck circle and they're like, oh, they're taking him out. And I think Boog caught it first or maybe JD, but they were like, honestly, like there's no point in pinch hitting him, because he'll just put him on. Because I think it was like Nico hit the double or somebody hit a double, and they're like, you're not going to bring up Tucker here because they're just going to put him on right away, which they ended up doing in the 10th anyway. But why'd you put your finger up?
Well, I wanted to talk.
Oh, sorry. You put your finger up and I thought like I said something bad.
No, I wanted to talk.
Also, well, one more thing to lead off of that. Did it cross your mind? It crossed my mind when they chose to face you with a guy on second and one or second and third with one out versus putting you on to face PCA to set up a double play or at least to force it home. Did it cross your mind like, you don't think I can do it, huh?
Respect me, ball. The Rizzo respect me.
Yeah.
No. I mean, there was a split second, going into the box and like, are they going to walk me here? But then once they didn't, it was like, all right. And I think there's two things that I want to talk about. I want to go back to the tuck thing, but touching on this, like the mindset of like walking the guy, like you think about it, like you got Bednar on the mound. He's throwing 92 mile an hour splitters. Like he got me to an 0-2 count by throwing two pitches out of the zone. And like, I'm not a guy that chases a ton. And so like to get like, that was the right thing to do. If you trust your closer of like, he can throw two pitches out of the zone that can get chase. And like, if that count goes 2-0, do they walk me? Like maybe, like if he throws those two splitters and I don't swing and it's 2-0, like maybe, but yeah, I think that's an interesting one from a coaching standpoint of like, do you put the guy on or do you trust that your pitcher's going to make the right decision to throw pitches out of the zone and get chase? And he did. Like he had me in the 0-2 count.
And I also get it from the side of no knock against you at all, obviously, but like PCA's on deck. He's having an incredible season. I think teams know that. And they're like, well, there's one guy we don't want to face after Kyle Tucker. It's probably PCA right now. So they're like, we'll see if we can get Ian. And then, well, they were probably thinking they get you. Then they put PCA on and get a right on right versus Saya. So I see both sides, but obviously worked out for the Cubbies better.
And the thing about Tuck, that it was really cool to see like in real time there, because there wasn't really a situation where I could hit in that inning. Like we were going to score before I came up. So like, I wasn't really getting ready to hit. I was just watching. And usually I'm thinking ahead with the manager. Like I wasn't even thinking about that. They were like, okay, if there's a double, cause Nico hadn't hit the double yet. Right. Like there's a man on first and the one situation was a double that didn't score a run in which Tuck wouldn't hit. And like, Counts had thought through that situation and Flaherty had thought through that situation to the point of, okay, JT, be ready if there's a double that doesn't score the run, which was like a crazy low percentage scenario, right? But the point was to save Tuck's at bat for the 10th inning if that happened, because they would have just walked him. And then in the 10th, pinch hitting Tucker there gets you to a situation where they're going to walk him. You know they're going to walk him. But now it's first and second with Birdie up, where Birdie can bunt or move the runners to get to the top of the order. So you're guaranteeing that I hit and that PCA hits. Or I hit and they walk PCA and Saya, whatever. So you're guaranteeing that the top two guys or the top three guys get at bats. Where if you don't pinch hit in that situation because you think they're going to walk him, and the first two guys get out, now you're man on second, two outs, and you need a hit to score instead of a sac fly. So I thought that was like a really advanced move that I was like, whoa, that's high level baseball management.
That's, I was going to say, those are the fun ones where you realize like you're sitting on your couch and like even me, I was thinking this. I'm like, oh, what's the point? Why are you pinch hitting Tucker? Like, you know, they're putting him on first. And then it's like the way you just explained it, it's like, oh, that makes a ton of sense.
Well, and I think a lot of the casual baseball fans in the 9th inning when they pulled Tucker back were like, what are we doing? Like, you have to have him hitting in that situation. Yeah. Why would you ever pull him back? And
this was me in the marquee office yesterday. And then when you saw the 10th inning, you were like, oh, it turns out Craig Counsell knows more baseball than me. Turns out I didn't know what I was talking about. And actually, that was a really good decision. So,
yeah, it is crazy good managing to not just be like, screw it, no matter what situation, he's going to go up there, even if they walk him. Like,
and that's where like managers have to think, like you said, they have to think an inning, two innings, three, like they have to think about the whole game, not just like, hey, in this spot, does it make sense? It's like, all right, like say JT doesn't get a hit, okay, then we can lead off Tucker, blah blah, like you just ran through, like then we have the setup we want for that 10th inning.
And if there's a single there and it's first and second, he's going to hit. If there's a walk and it's first and second, he's going to hit. If it's first and third, he's still probably going to hit. So, like, there was one scenario there where you pull him back, and to be ready for it was – and JT wasn't, to be honest. Like, JT wasn't completely ready for it. Like, He was like scrambling to put his stuff on a little bit, but they had thought all the way through that, which was bananas.
I think, honestly, if I'm Don Kelly, I'm probably like, even first and second, I'm probably still putting Tucker on base.
Probably
Like,
still,
I'm
yeah.
being like, you know what? I don't care. Like, I'll trust that Dansby's scoring from second on a single anyway. Like, I'd rather face whoever's up next versus facing Kyle Tucker here.
It
Yeah,
was
that's
Reese
probably right.
McGuire, so I think that's a decision.
Yeah. Well,
No offense, but that's fair.
I didn't want to say the name. I knew who it was. I was trying to be
I'm not trying
fluff.
to say no offense to Reese McGuire, but like you're not if your
No.
choice between Kyle Tucker and McGuire, like you're gonna take that's just not that's no disrespect to like any it's
That's
Kyle
a
Tucker versus
fact.
anyone else on the Cubs. You're gonna choose probably anyone else on the Cubs over Kyle Tucker.
It's the same as like, oh, like you're gonna put on Aaron Judge to face Cody Bellinger. Like, yeah, of course you are. Like, of course you're
Yeah.
gonna do that. And that's no offense to Cody Bellinger. But yeah, I see what you're saying, Tom.
Tom, are you going heavy support of the Yankees because of their series over the weekend?
Yeah, it was a funeral in Boston. Just get swept in Boston, tough. But now it's all fine because Rafael Devers, Red Sox fans feel worse than I do right now, so it's okay. As long as someone else feels pain, I can ignore my own pain. That's how it works.
The timing of that trade was crazy too. It was like 20 minutes before Sunday Night Baseball started, and the starting pitcher for the Giants last night was in the trade, Kyle Harrison. So he got scratched like 20 minutes before. I mean, I'm sure. Actually, I don't think so. They asked the players like, "When did you find out?" And they're like, "5 minutes ago." Like, we literally just found out that this trade happened. But it did kind of. It was crazy. Shocked the world a little bit right before Sunday Night Baseball.
Blockbuster in the middle of June. You don't see it often.
You know what? I'll say it, and I know Tom will agree. Ian won't comment on this part of it. If you're going to be paid $300 million and the team asks you to change positions and you say no, and then they say, okay, well, will you go back to playing your original position because Alex Bregman's hurt? And you say no, that to me is a problem. That's a problem in the locker room. And that's why I don't think the return, and these guys could all turn out to be great baseball players. I don't think the return was nearly as much as I thought Rafael Devers would get back. But I think it was like a culture thing of we have to get this guy out of here. So I think that was kind of the what pushed him over the edge.
I mean, the term that came to mind for me was salary dump. It looked like a salary dump. I mean,
Yeah.
you get some guys back, and sure, there's a couple prospects in there. You get your lottery ticket reliever. You get your lottery ticket 19-year-old pitcher that you're like, all right, maybe he can work out. Harrison obviously is a guy that has some major league experience, but they immediately option him to Worcester, which is tough. I feel like even just from an optics standpoint, maybe just let him make a start or
Just
two in
give
the
him like
majors.
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Just let him make two starts in the majors, and even then, if it doesn't work out, like, all right, then option him. I think just that's tough. I think it's very interesting for this Red Sox fan base, speaking from a fan perspective, that just went through this with Mookie Betts. A lot of people talk about this Devers contract being bad. The word underwater was used by Jeff Passan, that a lot of other organizations view this as an underwater contract. So to get any return, I think his kind of point was that that was impressive. I disagree with that. I mean, obviously, I'm not a. I, we care about the numbers and sabermetrics and all that stuff, but Rafael Devers is one of the best hitters in baseball. He's 28 years old, and his contract's up when he's 36 years old. This is not somebody who signed a contract in his mid-30s who's going to be in getting paid insane amounts of money until they're 40, 42 years old. 36 years old is not that old. And even if you're worried about the last 4 years of the contract, say post 32 years old, he's in his prime. He's 28 years old right now. And even if you're accepting the fact that he's probably trending towards being a DH only, which I think does limit the value in some of the contract, and pretty much universally agreed is a top 20, top 15, top 10, where you draw that line, distinction for being a hitter in baseball. And I think just emotionally, that fan base right now is pretty rattled. Even as you said, Dakota, I think there's a lot of things that make the trade much more understandable than it would have been 9 months ago, 8 months ago. It's still hard to wrap your head around that on a random Sunday, Rafael Devers got salary dumped.
Ian.
This is an interesting one because he set, throughout what he's set to make for the rest of this year. After this year, it's a 7 year 225. That's 32 a year. Outside of Shohei, who also pitches, there's no DH in the league is making that much money. And I think that like as front offices view it, it's a very tough situation to be in where you're paying that much money to someone who's just hitting. But he produces, man, and it's not gonna, like, he's a 3.5 to 4.5 win player of the year, which is a very good major league player. Like, that is very, very good. And he's adding value. It's mostly with the bat. But like him putting him in that left-handed bat in the middle of that order is gonna significantly impact the other guys around him. Willy Adames, Matt Chapman. It's gonna help all those guys. And I do think that the way that the front offices around baseball are viewing that contract is more of a analytics and war evaluation than it is actual on-field production.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was weird. It was weird that they didn't get more back, but like that is a good point of like I'd have to imagine he's going to go and play third base in San Francisco though now. I think they've
Oh,
had a
Matt
couple
Chapman.
injuries. I think he's hurt right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So I wonder, see, that would almost be hilarious to me if he goes there and he's like, "Yeah, I'll play third for you guys." Like that'd be funny. Tom, you would have to love that more than anything. Like, no, I won't for the Red Sox, but I will for you guys.
You do also have to identify that the Red Sox, I think, to be fair to Rafael Devers, yes, I like all the stuff you could say about the fact that I don't like the way that he handled this season. I also don't like how the Red Sox handled the season. I don't
I
think that
agree.
they handled it well either. I don't think either side comes out of this trade looking very good. The Red Sox, I don't think, obviously get a very good return. We'll see. I saw a couple people online trying to be a little bit more optimistic about that return. We'll see. It's tough when you trade a guy like this. Like, I think the Juan Soto trade for the first one by the Nationals is maybe the best example of they look at what the return was for him. Like James Wood, all the guys they got in that trade, like almost all of those guys are contributors now for a Nationals team that is improving and will be moving in the right direction. And if you're going to get off of somebody like that in their prime, you would hope to get that kind of return. But Devers kind of torpedoed his own value, not only through his own antics, but as we talked about, his ability to not be able to play the field, the DH role really just is not valued by the analytics of baseball. But I do think we're seeing it in Chicago right now with Kyle Tucker, how valuable getting one bat can be for the rest of the lineup. How just getting one guy of a Rafael Devers caliber can make everyone else slide up and down the order into a little bit more comfortable position and to take a little bit of pressure off everyone else. And I think that's the stuff where it's how do you value that? How do you value how he impacts the rest of the bats? And I don't know if there's a way of really calculating that, but I think a lot of front offices haven't really considered that. And I don't think that contract's that bad for Rafael Devers. I expected to look at that contract and go, that's a terrible contract. And the more I looked at it, the more I was like, I kind of like this contract. I like it's
Yeah.
you're again, like, are you going to probably be eating some money at 33, 34, 35? Sure. Okay. But are you going to have one of the best hitters in baseball through his prime years for the next 4 to 5 years? I think so. And I certainly think getting him out of Boston now gets him in a spot where he's going to be motivated and want to play.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the bat plays in San Fran.
I agree. Totally different park, obviously, but I think that Covey Cove is in danger with him
Yeah,
coming
he
straight
can.
away.
I mean, Flash hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to
Tom,
swing it anywhere.
what do you think, Ian? You're going to have no idea what any of this means. Fenway Sports Group owns the Red Sox. They also own Liverpool,
I
which play
saw
in the
this. I
Premier
saw this
League.
on TikTok today that they did sign. So you're going Florian Wirtz right here?
This trade is on the heels of Liverpool signing Florian Wirtz for 150 million. So I'm like, maybe they're trying to free up some cash to help Liverpool out. And I'm a Liverpool fan, so I kind of love it. But I saw that and I was like, the timing is kind of weird.
Yeah, so just so people know, so John Henry and the Fenway Sports Group own the Red Sox, obviously. They've also bought the controlling stake in Liverpool. They signed Florian Wirtz for 115 million from Bayer Leverkusen in Germany, and now they've also signed Frimpong for another 40 million. It's like $155 million in sales in the last 48 hours for Liverpool, and obviously the transfer window is just opening in Europe or hasn't even opened yet. It's interesting to think about, does that have an impact? And I think it's the weird part of this model that we're in now with sports, where these conglomerates own all these different teams. Because, I mean, the Red Sox were a locally owned, the Boston Globe owned them for many years in Boston. This was a Boston through and through team. John Henry, is a local guy who was supposed to kind of be the savior of the Red Sox and, help deliver them a championship and stuff. But since the championship run, he's traded Mookie Betts and Rafael Devers. Those are two of the most beloved guys in franchise history. And the return, obviously, on the Betts trade is disastrous. And now we're going to see what it is on Devers, but it doesn't feel like it's great in the moment right now. Well, it doesn't feel like it's what you would hope for. And how does the fan base react to you trading away two of the best players in franchise history and getting really not a lot to show for it?
It also, the other interesting thing is you would imagine that they're going to be very active in free agency.
Yeah.
Unless they've used all the money in Florian Wirtz, you know,
Whether
that's
that's,
the theory.
unless
Whether
they
that's
go and get Alexander Isak, you know?
whether that's whether that's Bregman opting out and then giving him a bigger deal or Tucker or something, like it's an interesting one.
I appreciate you laughing along with that, Ian. Like, you know who Alexander Isak is,
Yeah,
so
no,
thank
I'm a soccer guy. This is a soccer
you.
pod. Everybody knows that.
It's just they connected. It made sense to discuss
Ian's
that.
locked it on Newcastle United. That's where he's
Yeah,
at
he's a
all
big
times.
Newcastle guy. We know that.
I TiVo all those games. And we'll be right back.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Dakota, you said you got a few more touching points. What do you got?
Well, first one, I feel like has to come up here soon. You mentioned it. Shohei Ohtani returning to the mound today. First outing in 2 years, at least, probably like 2 full years. He's starting. I think it said he's going to go 1 to 2 innings. I'm very curious to see, like, once he's done pitching, what's the plan? Are they just going to keep, like, pinch
well,
hitting
there's a
in
new
that
there's a
role?
rule for him, right?
Oh, that's right. They did. What
With
is
his
the
own
rule
rule.
again? I know the rule, but explain it. Tom wasn't sure, so if you want to explain it to Tom, that'd be great.
Yeah, and Tom's actually the expert on this rule. So, Tom, why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Excuse me.
I think the
None of
rule
us
is
know the rule. Okay, good.
No, because he hasn't pitched in so long. Nobody knows the rule. I think what it is if your starting pitcher is also your DH, once you take him out of the game, he can then continue in the DH role. If you then burn the DH at any point, the
That's
DH is
correct.
burned.
The
But
only thing I
it's
wasn't sure about is I know there was some conversation about it, like an innings limit, like there was going to be like you had to pitch 4 to 5 innings, whatever. That's not part of the rule. That was the one thing I wanted to confirm. I did actually have some idea of the rule, but I wasn't sure if there was an innings
I don't
component.
think so.
There's not. So he can throw 1 to 2 and still be the DH for the rest of the day.
I like that, but it's also just kind of funny that they literally made a rule for nobody other than Shohei
Yeah,
Ohtani.
just him. It's literally called the Shohei rule. And also, It's a really, because he is one of the best hitters in baseball, you can't send him on a rehab assignment. You can't be like, no. Hey, man, go throw a game in 3A to get your pitch count up. It's like he's either throwing live BPs before the game starts, or you have to do it like this, where he's going to throw 1 to 2 innings, and then maybe the next time out it's 2 to 3, the next time out it's 3 to 4. Like, he has to build up in the big leagues, which is hilarious.
It is crazy, which it's also funny because it just makes it the world's best opener ever. Like, he's opening the game for you, and then you bring in, like, your normal starter for that day, I'm guessing, at least, like, until he's built up. Scott mentioned that, too. He's like, how wild is that? That you just, you can't go in rehab. So you're throwing, and you can't do live ABs. Like, you know, Ian, like, in a regular season, like, you can't go and have a starting pitcher throw 4 simulated innings before the game and have enough hitters out there. Like, you just can't do that.
Yeah, and he's been doing, like, 20 or 30 pitch live BPs, I think. But, like, I don't know what his pitch count will be, but yeah, he's got to build up in big league games, which is crazy. And I guess it's a good way to use his innings. Like, it's a good way to use his innings. And it is also like, they obviously, they don't want him to do it at the end of games. Like, they want him to do it at the beginning of games. So it is, yeah, it's crazy.
It's going to be interesting to watch how they navigate, how Dave Roberts navigates, like, how to use him. Like, if the plan is for him to eventually build up and just be a starter every fifth day, or if it's like keep him at a lower pitch count. I'm also a little surprised they brought him back before the All-Star break, just because how far away is the All-Star break?
Like another month.
Another month. Okay. I guess that's far enough away that it's worth it. And like you said, he can't go and build up in AAA anyway. So what's the point? Is he just going to keep throwing bullpens for a month?
What if Shohei declined the All-Star game so he could go throw a 3A rehab start?
He might.
Like, I'm actually not going to the All-Star game because I'm going to go to wherever their 3A is.
Oklahoma City, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go to OKC, and I'm going to throw 4 innings.
That'd be electric. On the heels of that, who else is back? Giancarlo Stanton. Tom, welcome back. Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup tonight. Are you happy? Are you excited? Are you not very excited? You don't seem very excited about it.
No, I mean, like, Giancarlo Stanton in the playoffs has been... I feel bad about what happened last year during the World Series, most for Giancarlo Stanton, even over Judge or anyone else, because the way he performed during the playoffs and has performed during the playoffs for the Yankees, he would be able to erase a lot of the criticism about his career as a Yankee if he had been, if they had won the World Series last year, he would have been the postseason MVP. So I was bummed for him that that didn't happen. You know, it's a question of what version of Giancarlo Stanton are you getting now at this age after the injury history and all that other stuff. But if he can be a contributor for the Yankees, obviously you're excited about that. And he still looks like, you know, he still looks like Giancarlo Stanton. And when he gets up there, there's that intimidation factor in the batter's box, at least, no matter what.
I think he helps a ton, too, to, like, even out their lineup. I feel like the more, every time I look at it, obviously they got Goldschmidt and Judge, but I feel like there's a lot of lefties in there. Maybe not as many. I'm just thinking like more top-heavy lefties of like Grisham, Rice, Belly. I guess there's more righties than I think. That was a terrible point, Dakota, because Volpe's in there too, and he's a righty too.
No,
there's like 5 righties and 4 lefties. What an idiot.
No. I'm looking at their lineup right now. Grisham's leading off left.
Okay.
Rice is hitting 2 left. And then Judge. Bellinger, left. Stanton, Chisholm, left. Volpe, Wells, left. And then... LeMahieu. So they're going.
Okay, left, not bad.
Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
I think he's like their one like bopper righty too, because Goldschmidt's hitting like 350, but he hasn't been like hitting homers and homers. You know what I mean?
Is Goldschmidt not playing against righties?
I saw he wasn't playing today, and I was kind of.
Is Goldschmidt playing every day? Because he's a good player.
Goldschmidt's playing most days. I think they're trying to get Ben Rice in there as well. So, I mean, it's competition.
Goldschmidt's got an 825 OPS. Let's get him in there every day, huh? He's hitting 311.
It's a good problem to have.
Would you like to call Aaron Boone? Listen, anytime you want to start making calls to Aaron Boone, I've got some comments for him as well. So,
like, hey, let's get Scott. Which, by the way,
yeah, we should
how
talk
did we
about.
Not start with this?
You're right. Scotty F. You're Ross. Right. Bad
That's
friends.
On hand up. Bad friends. Bad by us. Scotty F. Ross back in the show. Hasn't thrown yet, but he's back in the show.
I keep waiting every day for him to throw, and I'm like, come on, Boone. I already don't like you. Let's come on. We could find some common ground here by putting Scott Efros into the game, and we're not doing it, Aaron.
Tonight
Well,
has to be the night.
Scott texted us too, and he goes, to be fair, they've been like one run games all 3 days I've been up. And he's like, it's like they're just not going to throw me in the eighth inning of a one run game for my first game back when we have like good guys to throw. Like, not that he's not ready to throw in those spots, but he's like, I get it. Like, if we were up 8-0 and I didn't throw, I'd be like, what's going on here? But they've been like same as Cubs, like close games.
I mean, and tonight's the night. They played a very tight set over the weekend, and they've played, what have they played, like 4 one-run games in a row? Like,
Yeah.
he's in there tonight.
Need
Aaron
it.
Boone,
I
I will
need it
say
like I
one
need
nice thing
air
about you if you throw Scott Efros tonight. That's a one-time
to
offer. I will find something to compliment you about.
I texted, there was like a rain delay, I think the day he got called up, and I texted him. I said, don't be afraid to let us know if you're coming in like to start after this rain delay, huh? And I'll throw the game on. 'Cause I don't watch every Yankees game, but I keep up to like see if Scotty's in there so that I'm prepared.
You're going to be dialed now.
Yeah. Very happy for Scotty though. Been grinding to get his way back. Had a lot of injuries over the last couple years that he's had to battle through. So was very excited to see he got the call back up, and hopefully he'll get in there soon and go dominate.
Scotty.
Scotty.
Do you want to talk about, speaking of one-run games, there was something about like the most one-run games in baseball over the weekend. And I don't know if you guys saw that tweet about the baseballs.
Oh, about McCutcheon. That was one of my. Okay, we'll just jump right into one
Okay.
of my topics then. Okay, I thought they were my touching points, but sure. Yeah, Andrew McCutcheon made a comment that the seams seem higher here.
He
Ian,
said
I was
that
curious.
technically, he said that he MLB somebody from MLB told him that the seams are higher.
Oh, can you
That was the
confirm
direct.
this,
Yeah.
Mr. Happ?
Well, it's hard because the baseballs have changed so much every year over the last however many years. But I did think it was interesting that in his tweet it said that an official from baseball told him that the seams are higher and the drag, they're looking into the fact that the drag is increased. And I
What
think
else?
that
Did you guys
it's
see that Wells fly out in Boston the other day? I mean, that was like he hit it at, I think it was 106 at like 34, which every ball had been hit at that exit velo and that launch angle had gone, something like 380 feet and he flew out like 362 or something.
That's
So,
crazy.
yeah, it was, and that was to end the game, obviously. So it was a big spot. So people on Yankees Twitter were getting real tinfoil hat conspiracy theory going. And so it does seem like there is maybe some truth to the drag has been up on these balls because we've seen a lot of like high exit velo flyouts this year, I
It
feel. I
hasn't
think.
been like a mid-season change, right, Ian? Sorry to
No.
cut you off. Okay. Because I was just thinking, I feel like early in the year it was the torpedo bat thing when the Yankees were hitting homer after homer, and I was like, I have no issue with MLB switching the balls year to year, like you know they're gonna, but it can't be like a mid-season thing. Like you can't go to like a less drag one or more drag one mid-season to me.
Well, I mean, that's been the conspiracy theory online, right? Is that they've had certain balls that they've been saving for the big moments that fly well, and then the rest of the time they're giving everyone of the drag balls. So,
Yeah.
but the problem really is that once you start introducing all these different type of balls, and you're not able to say like we have a standard baseball that's been the same for the last couple of years, it invites this kind of ability to for people to have conspiracy theories about it and to have these different discussions because the ball is ever evolving. I imagine it must be kind of frustrating for you, Ian, playing that like the ball year to year has not been the same for really any point of your career.
It's not my favorite thing. It's not my favorite thing indeed. Like we at Wrigley, it's tough to know because the wind blows in every day. So generally when somebody hits a ball hard and it doesn't go out, it's just like, well, the wind's blowing in, so of course it didn't go out. We had a game in Cincy, and it generally flies in Cincy. And we had some balls hit that I could not believe didn't get out. And I'm just looking at the numbers right now, just looking at the numbers. The home runs, we know that the balls were hot in 17 and 19. Homers per game in 17 were 1.26. Homers per game in 19 were 1.39. In the last 4 years, 22, 23, 24, 25, homers per game 1.07, 1.21, 1.12, and this year 1.08. 1.08 would be you know, about the same as 2022, and that would be the lowest number since 2015. So, league average OPS, 712.
I don't get, like, why do they tinker with the ball so much? Like, why does it change so much every year? Don't you want runs? Why wouldn't it be a hot?
Well, I think the explanation from the league would be that they're handmade and it's within the margin of error. But for some reason, they're just a little bit different. Runs per game is down. Runs per game would be the lowest since 2015. No, 2022 was a little bit lower. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like they do change every year. And, you know, league average OPS, 712. Last year was 711. Hitting's really hard. Anytime you look at somebody's numbers and you say, well, that guy has a 699 OPS, it's horrible. Well, it's barely below league average. So league average really hard. Hitting's hard, man. Hitting's hard.
Who do you think would be really happy if they went back to the juice ball, juiced balls? You.
Guy.
Well, and what company that you work with would be happy?
Oh, Bruce Bolt.
More home runs. Yeah.
Bruce
yeah.
Bolt. They like hitters. Bruce Bolt. BruceBolt.us. I got to play golf today. I used my Bruce Bolt golf glove, striping it, striping all over the place. BruceBolt.us. Go check them out. Get your batting gloves, get your signature series, use code HAP at checkout for free shipping. I've seen a lot of people using that HAP code. Glad we could get you free shipping. BruceBolt.us.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Real quick, can we just give a shout out to Andrew McCutchen? Still really having another terrific year. Hit a home run on Saturday. Obviously, you guys were able to overcome it. But just, I mean, I remember when he got traded to the Yankees at the old waiver deadline in August in 18, and he had a terrific month, almost had a month, one.
And that's why you like him.
No, I mean, doesn't hurt. But
he had a 900.
You're a sicko.
And you love him.
But he was a very good Yankee, undeniably. But just the fact that was 2018, and that was sort of like, all right, he's at the tail end of his career here, had a very nice career, and now he's back with Pittsburgh and just passed Roberto Clemente for their all-time home run list. Just still doing it at age 38, really impressive, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out.
He's one of those all-time guys, too, that I feel like everyone that's played with him has said how cool he is.
He's been in the big leagues a long time, man. 16-plus years. And he's going to be a really interesting Hall of Fame case.
We were talking about it in the office. I think it's a little bit short for me, at least. I'm a small hall guy, but I think he'll get votes, certainly. And he has – you talked about Dakota, like – unfortunately, some of this does come down to your perception in the media a little bit as well. And he's beloved by the players and beloved by the media. He wouldn't shock me as if he's somebody who got in on the veterans committee eventually, because he is so beloved by everyone who's played with him and celebrated by other players that maybe he doesn't get there with the media vote. But wouldn't shock me if eventually he got in on a veterans committee, because he has that type of profile.
300 plus homers, 200 plus bags. He has an MVP. 4 silver sluggers, 1 gold glove, 5-time all-star. I mean, he's a statue guy in Pittsburgh for sure. And it's going to be a really interesting case when it comes up. I mean, it's been fun to play against him, I'll say that. Growing up in Pittsburgh, you know, when he came up were my high school years. So he came up in 2009, was an all-star in 11 and 12, won the MVP in 13. And so to get to watch him play while I was in high school, like he was coming up and becoming a superstar, and then to get to play against him now, and especially like I got to play against him just for the year and a half that he was at the end of his first run in Pittsburgh. And, you know, I got to play against him and when he was on a couple of other different teams, but to play against him in a Pirates uniform again, for me, it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it is sick to see. He's someone where I wouldn't be mad, like, if he got in the hall. I wouldn't be like, I don't think so. Are the numbers there? They're very fringe, but I do agree, like, the likability, like, it'd be cool to see him get in.
We were talking about this the other day. We were talking about him in the Hall of Fame, but then some other guys that are playing now who are, like, shoe-ins and other guys that would have chances. It is crazy how hard it is to get into the Hall of Fame in baseball. Of any sport, like, being a Hall of Famer in baseball is... Guy's got had a 50-win career. He's been the best player in baseball one of the years. 5 All-Star games, 4 silver slugs, and it's like, maybe. It's like, what?
That's why it's my favorite.
This guy's going to have a statue outside of the stadium in Pittsburgh, and we're like, maybe.
Small hall. I'm a small hall guy.
Yeah, so am I. I think it's what makes the Baseball Hall of Fame really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you just let people in, then it kind of loses its luster.
Yeah. But I also think... Sorry, last thing. Okay. I think it is the way that the game has changed. And like I just said, those offensive numbers, and you're comparing his numbers to the numbers of other generations. And that's kind of how you're making the decision. And I think that that's a tough one. It's like, he's had a really long career, but like guys aren't going to have 22-year careers to build the bulk stats that they need. And like, how many guys in this era that he played in had 300 homers and 200 bags? And I would say that list is probably 5. Like,
yeah,
if overlapping in like a 20-year span of when he played, to guys that have those numbers is probably just an incredibly short list.
Well, when his name's on the list, we're going to make you fill it out and see if he makes your 10.
Okay.
Have you guys seen on Twitter, there's an account called the MLB Hall of Pretty Good?
Yes.
And there's been, and Denard Span like did an acceptance speech when he got voted in. Eric Hosmer was just voted in. It's pretty cool stuff like that, where it is like, hey, shout out to those guys who had really, like, they're not obviously Hall of Famers, but those are had some, Denard Span, great career. Hosmer, really great career. Some guys that had some really good careers getting celebrated. I love that. That's like my favorite thing.
I haven't seen that, but that actually sounds incredible.
Dude, it's amazing.
The Nationals were getting involved because they wanted Denard Span to go in with a Washington cap instead of going with the Twins cap initially to the Hall of Pretty Good.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw when Kipnis got into it, it was great. I think it's awesome. I think their criteria is hilarious too. It's like you have to have less than a certain amount of war.
35 war, yeah.
Yeah, less than 35 war. It's great.
It's got to be like you could never have been, like you could have never been on the Hall of Fame ballot.
The qualifications are less than 35 WAR, no Cy Youngs or MVPs, must be retired, can't be in Cooperstown. So pretty small criteria, so a lot of people eligible.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I like what more you positive guys think stuff of, out of the world. Let's get more positive.
Yeah, that's what we're trying for. Look at Tom turning over a new leaf. He's positive Tom. What do you guys think of the All-Star uniforms?
Didn't see them.
Tom?
Not a fan.
Yeah, I thought they stunk. I thought they were horrible. I want
okay.
them to go back to the team wearing your team's uniform.
Correct.
I think that's
the best. My problem. It's really, I'm not going to like anything unless I just want that. So I like, Sorry. And there's not really going to be a uniform that I see. Like, it's all varying degrees of bad to me because it's really like, I just don't want this.
Yeah. And like this one was whatever, but I'm the same way. If I'm like, I want them to wear their team's. Ian, when you went, wasn't it a Cubs uni?
Yeah, but it was like a gold Cubs uni.
See, but I'm okay with that.
It was white,
like a slightly
different Cubs unit on it.
I like that though. Like I need that. I just don't need this much color. Like I feel like there's too much color going on. Not too much, but like the whole thing. I don't know. It just looks weird to me.
Did you guys see the July 4th hats?
No, are they sick?
Really cool. Go look at those.
They have a string on them, which I don't love for in game. That's they're good.
I'm gonna get a. If you want to just let Danny Mueller know, I'm a size 8. Just throwing it out there.
I'm sure he has a couple of those laying around.
He could get one for me. You know he could.
Did you look it up? Did you see him?
Let me take a quick peek.
Take a gander.
Well, if they're really cool, then I'm gonna say, Danny, like, please get me one.
Take a gander.
I'm looking.
Get you.
Oh, those are they're baby blue,
dude. Ooh. Kidding me?
All right.
Like, it doesn't make sense for every team, but like for us, it's really cool.
There is some on there that's just funny. Like
for San Francisco, yeah, it's like, yeah. What are we doing? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah,
but for you guys, it'll be sick.
Really cool.
Do you have special unis or no?
No.
Would you wear your powder blues with that hat?
If the day lines up, which it won't.
Are you home?
You guys are probably July 4th. It's an Apple TV game.
I think it is a Friday, though, Ian. Don't you wear them on Friday?
It might line up perfect.
Confirming it is a Friday. It is a Friday.
Wow. Maybe it will.
That's special, man.
Maybe it will line up perfect. Do you have any other touching points to get to? Because Danny's got a hot take.
I got one last one. It's pertinent to you, Ian, and the pod. Who's a friend of the pod? Sean Casey played in the Savannah Bananas game and tore his hamstring.
Dude.
Not great.
Not great. Not great.
I mean,
got him.
Have you talked to him at all since?
No, he actually sent me a text after the game yesterday, but I didn't bring up his torn hamstring.
I mean, that wouldn't have been weird. That's a normal, like, hey, how's the hammy? Like, you tore it and you don't even play baseball anymore.
Dude, he got in there and it was just, I don't know, like, he has a like a in between pitch routine of like undoing his batting gloves and doing like the reverse leg kick into the box.
Yeah.
And he couldn't, you know, Savannah Bananas, there's no time in between pitches. The guy gets it back and throws. So he was like redoing his batting gloves and trying to get like back in the box. And he was out of rhythm.
That's tough.
It was funny because like Case, when I was growing up, Case was really big on mental skills. Like that was his thing. And like he had success in the big leagues because he wasn't the most athletically gifted individual, but he mentally is the best guy to ever talk to. Just tenacity in the box, breathing in between pitches, like resetting, all that stuff. That's what made him a great big leaguer. And so like, I know that he has, like, even in that situation, he's so locked in that like he has a process. Like he's redoing his batting gloves. He's looking at the bat, breathing, and like he can't do it. I just thought it was really funny. I want to talk to him about what was going through his head. Because it'll be a hilarious story.
Yes. I need you to get some backstory into that.
I'll get some background.
Dakota, did you see Ian's second at bat on Friday? I've never seen this before. I don't know if Ian will know what I'm talking about before I say it. Ian lost the bat, and it ended up basically down by the tarp. It flew out of his hands and ended up seriously down by the tarp. I had never seen a flying bat go that far. It ended up, it snuck underneath the net and ended up in the front row on a woman's like legs, basically. She was fine.
Get some pine tar.
I'm good for 1 to 2 a year. It was raining. It was raining, and I was having a long at bat against Skeens. And you know, my in between pitch thing is I'll put my bat down and redo my batting gloves. And so as the at bat went on, it got like my batting gloves got a little wet and the handle got a little wet, and I let it eat down the line.
Did you end up walking?
Walked.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yep. I did not see that, but I think McGuire had one where he like threw it into the dugout, I think on Saturday too, or maybe it was Friday as well. But I saw that and I was like, bats are flying everywhere.
I had just never seen one go that far, like down by the tarp.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
I guess that speaks to like Ian's finish though, of how like he finishes high. So like he probably launched it down there.
Yeah. Let it eat.
Wet gloves. Happens.
Good direction. Okay. We're just in Philly. I don't know if you guys are going to want to jump in on this, but we were just in Philly. Okay. And so Chicago has the Italian beef. Philly's got the cheesesteak. Danny's hot take is Italian beefs are better than Philly cheesesteaks.
Got my Portillo's bag from last night right here. Just had an Italian beef. One of my favorite parts about moving back to Chicago, being in vicinity of Portillo's. Not good for my wallet or my waistline, but good for my mental health, I think. And that's at least what I'm telling myself. Italian beef, pretty incredible. Philly cheesesteak, also incredible. Honestly, I feel like sometimes I don't want to pick. I love both. It is. I do feel like they fight to a draw. Like they both have, they're a little bit different and they're a little bit unique in each of their own ways. I love both. And I feel like we have room in our heart for both.
I don't feel like I've had enough Philly cheesesteaks to really like make a determination. I haven't like ventured into Philly to get a cheesesteak. Like they have cheesesteaks at the field there, but I can't say that I've like gone around Philly and been like, I need to find a cheesesteak at noon before a 7 o'clock game.
I was going to say, I don't think you're going to like my answer. I don't think I've had either of them enough to like tell you one's better than the other. I think they're both, and I will say, I like them both. I don't love, like, it's not like, oh, I'm in Philly, like I have to get a cheesesteak, or I'm in Chicago, like I have to get the beef. I'm like, I'm just a pizza guy. Anywhere I'm at, give me some pizza.
Hey, I don't blame you for that.
So I wouldn't even say that's that hot of a take anyway. I feel like a good amount of people might agree with that.
I feel like nationally, Philly cheesesteak has a bigger reputation. I've done the whole Philly Pat's Geno's. Those are probably the two most famous Philly cheesesteak spots. They're across the street from each other in Philadelphia. A lot of people will tell you in Philadelphia that those are not the best. I've gone to probably gone to three or four different places in Philadelphia to get Philly cheesesteaks. I also had them. You know, you get them a lot of places now. I don't think you necessarily need to be in Philly. A really good Philly cheesesteak is incredible, and it's something I crave once in a while. But it is different to me than an Italian beef. So Italian beef's more of that French dipped kind of tradition. So I love both. I have room in my heart for both. If I had to pick one, I probably go Italian beef, just because a lot of times I don't love
Chicago.
I don't love the onions sometimes in the Philly cheesesteak. Also, I don't want mine with cheese whiz in it. If you give me a cheese whiz, like that's like, now what are we doing? Like that's for children. I don't want that in my food. So I think the overall Italian beef package is slightly better, but they're both really good.
People are going to hate this. I don't like, doesn't a cheesesteak also come with peppers on it?
I mean, it depends how you order, but yeah.
Like every time I've gotten a cheesesteak or the Italian beef, I go no peppers, no onions. So it's literally just like beef.
Yeah.
And that's how I eat it.
I mean, they have like the Giordana or whatever the hell you pronounce that in Chicago. I live here, but I don't know how to pronounce that. But with
Jardinere?
Sure, Jardinere.
It's Jardinere, yeah.
Yeah.
Giordano was crazy.
That's but crazy.
Hey, you don't know what you don't know.
I admitted before I said it that I had no idea how to say it. You know what it is? Never order. I always go without that stuff. I'm always like, no, thank you.
I need you to go tomorrow and order one and say, can I have some of that Giordana on it?
No. Nope. That's a pizza place down the street. DoorDashing it over here. And no, don't have to say it out loud. Don't have to talk to anybody. It's great.
Are you a Jardinere guy, Ian?
No, but Julia is big time.
Is she?
Yeah.
She's got a fancier palate than you, though. She definitely does. Yeah.
And she's it's like Italian beef with Jardinere dipped. It's like, it's soggy. What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't need the soggy bun.
If I get it from Portillo's, you got to get it dry, order it dry, and then the sauce, and then you get the little au jus on the side to dip it in. That's how I do it.
A little au jus.
Because then it's not soggy when you get it.
Should we get the people the Sloan screen time?
Sure.
Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. They're at the forefront of the green building movement. If you're in the market for the best flushers, faucets, and sink systems in the game, call Sloan Valve, come to Wrigley, see all the Sloan floating around out there. Sloan Valve, what are your screen times?
Sloan's floating around out there?
Well, you know, they're everywhere. They're floating and they're flushing. They're floating and they're flushing.
Mine was 7:44. I know, last place.
4 hours, 6 minutes.
It's a good day.
2:18 for me. 2:18. Sorry about it. That's going to be another dub. Somebody just give me a little bit of competition. It's all I'm asking for, man.
Tom's been competing.
I feel like I'm trying, man. 4 hours, pretty good day for me.
Maybe we should
start doing like my highest of the week versus whatever you have that day.
I got to like 2 p.m. and I was like, you know, I'm going to try to keep it low because we're recording tonight. And then about an hour later, I was like, I don't really care. It's going to be a high number. It is what it is.
My highest of last week was 4:42.
All right. So I win. There you go.
So you win. You win. Congratulations. That's episode 263.
Yeah. 263.
263 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's, get your Parse, send us a photo. We will see you next week.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.